I'm not crying anymore, oh, because I praise the Lord. I've been laughing all day long because of my Lord. Depression doesn't faze me anymore. Anxiety is gone because of my Lord.
It's time. Hey everybody, welcome to Lost Light and Laughter, an uplifting show about laughter after tragedy. I'm your host, Michelle A. If you're ready for some inspiration and laughter in your life, you've tuned in to the right show.
It's time to show love, everybody. Show love one time. He's strong enough to fight my battles. I know he'll never give me more than I can handle. My Lord, my King.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Lost Light and Laughter. I'm your host, Michelle A. On today's episode, we have a special guest, Juan. Juan, come on in and tell us about yourself.
Hey, thank you for having me. My name is Juan Cherry, senior pastor of a church called New Creation Christian Center. And I'm also a high school counselor. So I work with 10th and 11th grade students. So that's what I do during the week. Married. I'll be celebrating 28 years of marriage in just a few days. Two adult children. One's a former soldier. One's studying in my daughter's studying interior architecture. And then we have three granddaughters. So we're pretty busy. But, you know, we have a great family and I'm happy about where we are. So that's a little bit about me.
Well, Juan, as you know, the name of this show is called Lost Light and Laughter. Tell the audience about a significant loss in your life.
Okay. It'll be 9 years ago, the 21st of May, lost my mom. She came through a heart transplant. She actually had a heart attack. She was by herself. She owned her own business, had a heart attack when she was there alone, fell, broke her ankle, crawled all the way back to her office to make a call. Heart deteriorated to where she needed a heart transplant, and she was number one on the transplant list from Philadelphia to Florida, the East Coast, because of the severity of her situation. And we were told that she would not make it on a Saturday. On Sunday, she got a transplant. That's just amazing.
Amen.
Doctors told us she wouldn't live past Monday. You know, we got the transplant. She went back into her business, continued to run her business. She was a tailor, an alteration specialist. She was the best there was. And so about 8 years after that, she was diagnosed with ALS. And the crazy thing is, I didn't even know what ALS was. I took her to a clinic and I started looking around the room and I saw these signs that said ALS, MS. And I'm thinking, I don't think this is good. And so I Googled ALS while I'm sitting there and realized that there's no cure and it's fatal. And so then the reality kind of set in. So we got a diagnosis and, you know, long story short, about 11 months later, we lost her. And we avoided the conversations with the social worker about advanced directives and what to do when she could no longer decide for herself. And so we said we weren't going to have those conversations. I would take her to the clinic, you know, every month, and we had said, we're not having that conversation. And so they were very hard on us and made us. They wouldn't let us leave without having the conversations. But what happened was we had the conversation. So when it came down to making a decision, I was standing at her bedside and they asked me the questions, what do you want to do? And so I responded. She doesn't want to be intubated. She doesn't want any life-saving measures. She doesn't want to be resuscitated. So my only question is she comfortable? If she's comfortable, I'm okay. And so the doctor said, well, she's comfortable. She may live a few days, but that's about all we can do. And so we're standing there. And evidently, the other doctor ran up and said, now, listen, you heard what he said, right? I said, listen, sir, this is what she wanted. So I don't want any of those measures. I'm fine as long as she's fine. And so that was the last conversation we had. 10 hours later, she was gone. You know, it happened that quick. But the thing that I remember and the thing that keeps me is the fact that I know what she wanted. So I was able to make the decision that I think back to what would have happened had we not had those conversations, what would have happened had we not talked with the social worker and I knew what she wanted. And so I think as I look back on it, she was protecting me because she wanted the decision to be easy on me. And it was. And so, you know, that's my loss. She was my hero. You know, I remember standing beside her hospital bed thinking heroes aren't supposed to die. You know, heroes aren't supposed to die. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, sound or go too far into this, but I can remember thinking, man, Mom, we met in the hospital. Mm. And you were saying hello to me. And now we're going to separate in the hospital and I got to let you go. Those were the thoughts that were going through my mind, you know, just sitting there watching this happen. And then my wife came up and we kind of, you know, we were together, you know, in the waiting room and we kind of got the news that she was gone. And so it just, you know, it was tough. But the amazing thing, and this might be part of the next question, but I actually got to do her eulogy. And that was tremendous. It was, to me, it was my tribute to her, to send her off with my words, you know. And so that was amazing. But yeah, that's my loss. You know, I lost my mom. That was it. So.
So, Juan, tell us about the light. As you know, the show is called Lost Light and Laughter. Tell us about God. Tell us about your relationship with God, with your mom. And your mom's relationship with God. Talk to us about the light. Talk to us.
We talk about that. Like most families, we grew up in a family church. You know, my mom was a believer, but she became more of a believer as she matured, you know, not when she got sick, but, you know, prior to that, she was, you know, more, she had faith. One of the things that I have is I got her Bible when she passed away. And I went through it, and she's got sermon notes in her Bible. She has the dates when the different scriptures, different sermons were preached. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know she was in it.
Wow.
Like,
you
know,
yeah.
Notes in there. And my mom and I, she found out my favorite gospel song when I was in college. I got saved as a college sophomore. My favorite gospel song was by Douglas Miller, "My Soul is Anchored in the Lord." And some Sunday mornings, when, you know, Christian radio, or when that was radio was big, when it was playing, she would call me and just let the music, I could hear the song. So that was kind of our connection. Sometimes it's hard to tell the light from day, you know, those are the lyrics, but that's kind of what she held on to. And we shared that. She would visit my church because I was pastoring when she was alive, but I know she had ties to where she was, but she would pop in when she could. And we had a great relationship. And, you know, the fact that I know she was saved when she passed, I know she loved God when she passed, you know, that carried us and her, but God kind of carried me through this process because, like I said a few minutes ago, heroes aren't supposed to die, you know, supposed to lead. And so in my eulogy for her, she was a seamstress, and because she saw well, you have to be able to see it to do it, you know, and she just had this amazing outlook on life and faith and God, and it just kind of pushed her through. And so that's how I got through, is just trusting God through the process. I don't know how I stood to do the eulogy. I don't know how I was sane enough to say the words that I said, other than, you know, by the Holy Spirit, just kind of pushing me through it. And one of the things that I found as I was going through her house, this lady, I'm telling you, she had on 5x7 note cards. She had my entire life marked out. From birth, all the major moments in my life, she had on these note cards. And so I still got the note cards to this day. You know, the last note she said was, you know, "You make a mother proud, and I'm proud that you're my son." That was the last. I don't know when she wrote that stuff, but I found it when I was in her house, and that stuff kind of still carries me to this day, you know, and a lot of what I do, so talk about a little bit, but the book, reading, all that stuff was attributed to the love that she has, and, you know, just the fact that God carried us through it. So I guess that would be my light.
And let me ask you this, because I know she's a believer, and do you believe she knew she was going?
Yeah.
You know,
I do. I think, and I don't know how much you know. I don't want to assume, but you know how ALS works. You know, it starts small. She lost movement hands. Now she's a seamstress. Okay, when her hands weren't working, right. This one she couldn't do buttons anymore. So she sewed Velcro into her shirts, so she wouldn't have to button them. She could just push them down, and the Velcro would work. She had ceiling fans in her house. I went through and put longer cords on it so she wouldn't have to reach.
Yeah, so tell us some more about how she would do the Velcro on her shirt.
Yeah, when her fingers are no longer nimble enough to do buttons or zippers, she sewed Velcro into her shirt so she could just press them down. She sewed them into her pants so she wouldn't have to use the zippers. she had ceiling fans in her house. And so I went in and bought the longer cord so she wouldn't have to reach up, you know, to get them down so she could do all of that stuff. It was crazy. She drove with her hands on the bottom of the steering wheel because she couldn't lift her. But she drove 5 days before she passed away. I mean, she kept working. But I believe she knew that she wasn't going to live long because if you know anything about the way ALS works, it's a long, drawn out process for some to where they can no longer speak. They can no longer walk. You know, all those things. They have the voice things where it helps them speak. And I really believe she didn't want to be in that position. When she could no longer take care of her, she didn't want to be here anymore. I could see that in her eyes. And I knew that. And so I think she went out on her own terms while she was still able to work, still able to function, still driving every day. I believe she knew, you know, to answer your question, that she was not. And this is crazy. She died on May 21st. My daughter turned 16 on May 20th. I believe she purposely didn't want to die on my daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
She did not want that to be a part of that memory. So she died the day after. So, and I believe that was crazy. We bought my daughter a Volkswagen Beetle for her 16th birthday. And my mom never got to ride in it. But the crazy thing is when I got the call that she was sick to come get her, I drove the Beetle. So her last ride was in my daughter's Beetle. I took her to the emergency room myself because I wasn't going to wait on the ambulance. So she did get to ride in the Beetle before she passed. But, you know, just a little extra information. But it was something. But I really believe she did not want to go on my daughter's birthday. I really believe that was her only granddaughter. And she did not want that to happen.
I believe that so much. And when you have such a relationship with God, like, you can give those kind of requests.
Right.
You're like, God, you know, I'm coming home, but I need this. I need you to help keep me here until this.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you mentioned about her hands, and I said, that's the gift of God. You know, that's like, that it's almost a form of her identity, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you lose that, it's like, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do this. So, like, this is it. I'm not going to continue on because I can experience that. Like, it feels like I'm dying already. If I can't do what I was created to do, I don't want to live. And so she probably was just like, she was making plans. And she's, God is so merciful because he'll do that for us. Yeah. So tell us. Okay. So we talked about the loss. We talked about the light and how good God is. And can you tell us a little bit more about what God spoke to you in those times when you were missing your mom?
Okay. Sometimes it was difficult. I mean, I went back to work, you know, about 3 or 4 days later, and I could be walking down the hall in the school and the grief would just hit me. And I can remember running to my office because I didn't want the kids to be upset, seeing me upset. And I would run to my office and just close my door, you know, and get myself together. But I got crazy. I got a prophetic word from my brother-in-law who, right after my mom had passed, he pulled me outside and he said, listen, he said, I know it hurts. He said, but it had to happen this way. He said, your mom prepared you for her leaving, you know. She knew you could handle this. She knew that you were strong enough to deal with her loss. And so that really comforted me, you know, through that time. And then the other thing is she prepared me. I mean, and I say it this way, my relationship with my mom went through a transition to where we were no longer mother and son, but she became Miss Pat to me. Her name was Pat. And so she was Miss Pat. And I was no longer one or son. I was Cherry. And what that tells that, and she respected who I was as Cherry, as adults. And so it was just a great thing where we respected each other outside of our mother-son relationship is what I'm saying. And so that she was so much bigger than I understood. I only knew her as my mom and had no idea how many lives she had touched, you know, outside my small circle. And so that was amazing.
Yeah. Oh, that is so merciful. So talk to us about the laughter. Okay. I know that's a significant loss, losing a parent. Tell us about the first time you remember laughing, like you knew you were going to be okay.
Yeah, it was something, you know. I do not know what her last conversation with her doctor was. But I went to see her the night after she went to the doctor, and she looked at me and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Mom, I'm okay if you're okay." And she says, well, I'm okay. You know, and I thought about this later. She said, if I'd have known what that doctor was going to tell me, I wouldn't have spent my money on that dog food. I remember thinking in that moment, why would you say that? But days and weeks after she passed away, I found myself thinking, she's talking about dog food.
I know.
You know, she's like, I wasted my money. You know, she had me buy her some those protein shakes, you know, and it's like, you won't need those anymore. I mean, just little stuff that I thought about after the fact that really just kind of helped. You know, she had a crazy humor. So,
yeah, she was OK with going. She was OK to be with the Lord. You know, that ain't even an issue. She's just like, I'm just not gonna waste my money right now.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing our story. Now, we know you just published a book. Can you tell us a little bit about your book?
Yeah, the name of the book is Wired for Success, and it's actually a republish. I published it the first time while she was still alive, and I actually wrote the manuscript, and I would give it to her to read as I was writing the book. And that came, she gave me a love for words and books and reading because she gave me books for presents as a kid. I'm like, Mom, I'm a boy. I want toys, you know, games. She would give me those things, but she also gave me books, so much so that one of my favorite books as a 13-year-old was that big red Webster's Dictionary. I love learning words. And I did not remember her saying that. She was reading my manuscript and I'd never heard those words before. It's like God was actually writing it through me. And the first time we published it, the newspaper here in our town did a big story, you know, had my book on the page, and my mom called me and left me a voice message. Says, "Hey, Mr. Celebrity, you know, you're a published author," you know.
Right.
So that was amazing. But the book is Wired for Success, Experiencing the Reality of Being Equipped to Fulfill What You've Been Created to Accomplish. And the whole message is God has created us to be successful.
Amen. You know,
us to do great things, and that's the thought behind it. Because sometimes I struggle with self-worth, and I got to read the book myself to understand God's giving me success. And one of the words in the book is God's created us successful, but it's up to us to succeed. Successful is a state, but to succeed is an accomplishment, and you got to understand the differences. So, you know, that's kind of my tribute to her. I love for books and reading and words. And so to me, this is a testament of, you know, who she is and what she helped me become. And that's it. But yeah,
Wired for Success. Okay, tell us where we can find your book.
Right now, the book is available on Amazon, both Kindle and softback edition. And so you can get it there. And we're actually running a hot deal right now for $2.99. You can download the Kindle version. And that's going to be going on for maybe another couple of days. But listen, it's a guarantee that it'll bless you. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but just like I said before, she was telling me parts of it that I didn't even remember writing. So it wasn't me. So get a copy of the book. And can I tell you a funny story just real quick?
Yes, absolutely.
When I think about Wired for Success, there's a section in the book that talks about understanding, you know, the danger of power. Because the book is, you know, the house is wired, but you got to be careful with power. So whenever I was a college student and I was going to put up a ceiling fan, first direction says, turn off the power. And I'm like, I ain't got time to turn off the power. I'm just going to go ahead and take this down.
I know where this is going.
I unscrewed the wire covers and I reached up and I grabbed those wires and I couldn't let go because the electricity was running through me and I couldn't get my hands off of it. And so that was one of the lessons in the book is, you know, you got to be careful when dealing with God's ability and his power. It can also be harmful if you're not careful. And so, you know, that's just one of the little stories in there. But thank you for your time. You know, whether I sell a book in this event or not, I just want people to know that God is a God even in loss. Man. And he can motivate, you know. He can soothe and he can also inspire. in our darkest times, you know, and I hold on to that. So thank you for your time.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And this concludes Lost Light and Laughter. God is so good and his mercy endures forever. Go out and get wired for success. You guys have a great one.
Everybody show love one time. It's time to give praise. Everybody give praise one time. Yeah. It's time to show love. Everybody.